Welcome back. This is Amy Labota. Today I have with me Julie Colucci. Julie Colucci is the manager of the Cessna Pilot Center's and training program, and also the author of The Legacy of the DC-3. Tell me a little bit about how you got into it, segue from being a flight instructor to being a published author. It was a long journey, wasn't it, Julie?
It's been in development for many, many years now. I started off as a flight instructor and then had the opportunity to go work as a writer for Jeppesen and got into their courseware development department and did some magazine writing on the side and was selected to join the editorial team at AOPA Pilot back in 2000. Worked for about 8 years at AOPA, and while I was there, one of the wonderful opportunities that we got were invitations to fly aircraft. And I got the invitation of a lifetime from a guy by the name of Dan Grider, who invited me to come down and fly his DC-3, not knowing that the DC-3 had been just a heart-stopping airplane for me. And so I had to take him up on the offer and take the opportunity to fly the airplane, and that just compounded the affection that I've had for the airplane over
its
history.
Wait a second. Let's you didn't just fly the airplane. You got your ATP in that airplane, did you not?
I did. I had my writtens already taken, and I had the option of doing the ATP in a Seminole or doing it in the DC-3, and I decided it was worth the extra effort.
Oh, you decide. You. There was much angst in that decision, if I remember correctly.
There was no angst.
No. It was an amazing opportunity, wasn't it? But there was a lot that went on with that. I mean, it didn't go so as smoothly as you thought it was going to go, did it?
Well, nothing worthwhile is ever without a little bit of challenge. And the airplane is amazingly tough and incredibly well designed. Sometimes you run into things just by virtue of the fact that it's 75 years old and in this case had 55,000 hours on it. Sometimes things break, and we had a gear collapse during the training that actually turned from a very negative thing to a very positive thing, because it encouraged us all to learn so much more about the airplane and become even more in awe of the engineering team that developed it, and to the point where it would be repairable after something fairly dramatic 75 years after it was constructed. And other things like the availability of parts and the availability of tribal knowledge on the airplane makes it possible for it to be flying today. So that was really the genesis of the book. And so the article that I did back in 2005 was for its 70th anniversary, and that was called Together We Fly. And I carried over the title to the book, which is Together We Fly, Voices from the DC-3, to collect all of the stories for people who had responded to that article. And it wasn't just pilots, it was mechanics, it was people who had taken their first passenger flight on it. It was guys who had ridden on it as paratroopers in the war. It was, young pilots who had done cargo ops in it down the Caribbean or throughout the U.S. during the 70s and 80s. All kinds of stories. I mean, there are people from all walks of life have a relationship to the airplane, and that was really the catalyst.
Well, and the thing of it is, when I read this book, and I did get to read this book because it's one of the wonderful things about being a magazine editor is they send you these things, they call them advanced copies. And you can have the opportunity to read the book so that you can publish the review in time for the book being released. Now, I have to admit that I was so anxious to see this book released that I was probably even jumped the gun a little ahead of that. People have been waiting so long for this book that the word on the street is it sold out of all the copies immediately that they brought to Oshkosh here. Is that correct?
That's what I've been hearing, and hopefully we'll get some more in, because they printed plenty.
Yeah, well, there you go. I'm not the least worried. I see this going into second printing rather rapidly. And the reason why is because this is not just a book about an airplane. And this is not just a book about people who flew in the airplane. This is the stories about what this airplane has done. And not only that, you created this incredible structure, this framework, by researching Donald Douglas. And I think you fell in love with him. I think you'd marry. I think you'd dump your husband in a heartbeat and marry this guy if he was around today. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I have a great husband. He's not threatened by the fact that I have a crush on a dead man.
It's probably. But I mean, you did. You went to his house.
Well, there's so much to be admired. I mean, he was really the first aeronautical engineer. He was the first graduate of MIT's aeronautical engineering program, which he, his mentor, Jerome Hunziker, had developed. He was there with Hunziker, formulating some of the first viable wind tunnels that were used in subsequent development. He had a vision for the use of commercial aircraft in passenger transportation and knew that we couldn't just use aircraft as for the military and we couldn't just use them for airmail transport. In order to make aviation really work, you had to get people on board and solve their needs, the needs of connection, the needs of travel, business, communication. People want to meet up. And the airplane makes so much of that possible. And he saw that back in the very early days and developed, everything that outflowed from that was to cement that vision and bring that to life. And the DC-3 was the expression of that in a way that really no other airplane was.
No, and it's really interesting because you talk to people about the DC-3 and you start to get these stories. My dad's first airplane ride was as a passenger in a DC-3 from Baltimore to Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And the weather was so bad, they had to turn around and go back to Baltimore. And they ended up taking a bus.
Okay. There you go.
I think it was 1939. Mm-hmm. My first ride in a DC-3 was as a passenger on PBA, Provincetown Boston Airlines,
sure.
From Fort Myers to Key West.
Mm.
And I can remember getting on this airplane, always the last passenger, because my dad thought we lived really close to the airport. That's we'll just leave it at that.
Sure.
But in those days, they would reopen the door and let you step on. And I'll never forget climbing on this airplane and having to sit leaning, facing up, and thinking, wow, this is so bizarre. Mm-hmm. And even today, the DC-3s fly over my house at night after every good rain to spray for mosquitoes.
Mm-hmm.
And we love to hear them coming. We absolutely love to hear them coming. And we finally got the Basler conversion, which mm-hmm. they have kept these airplanes here in Oshkosh. They do a turbine conversion just mm-hmm. on the other side of the field,
yeah.
To make these airplanes into even more vibrant workhorses, and these airframes are continuing.
Yes, and that'll be how the airplane continues to live beyond. We don't know what's happening with avgas and things like that. So
exactly.
The fact that it's been able to take on different roles, I think of the evolution from the military version, which was the C-47. They built, roughly 10,000 of those for World War II, but then transitioned the airplane into a gunship mission and a PSYOPs mission for Vietnam. And made that into, just took that military role, which was significant in World War II, and then added, yet another thing to its palette. And there's an example of an AC-47, which is Spooky 71, which flies around and does a lot of tours. We've got so many friends in the DC-3 community, and great examples like that, where people are using it to encourage people to get involved in aviation and to teach them about the history and all those very critical things.
Yes. And it's conceivable that this could be the airplane that's still a workhorse at 100 years old.
It is possible. It's going to be a challenge, just because there are parts out there, but inevitably, you know, we'll run through all those. There may be, you know, there's always the specter of regulatory burden. We've made some wins in that realm here in the States, but in, you know, in the UK, they can't fly them because they've kind of painted the airplane and a lot of vintage aircraft into a corner as far as operationally. And so that we have to be vigilant about those, you know, those regulatory burdens that would, for the, you know, for no real good reason, keep the airplane from flying on its 100th birthday.
Yeah, but there's a lot of other places in the world where that airplane's a workhorse.
True.
That airplane's a real workhorse.
Yeah.
But that's not the only type rating. Matter of fact, your most recent type rating that you got was in the Cessna Citation Mustang.
Yeah.
Now, this is your work part of it, right? I mean, that was your night job we just talked about. Now we're going to talk about your day job.
My fantastic
as the director or manager of the Cessna pilot training programs, you are obligated to do things like learn to fly those airplanes, right?
Yeah.
Right?
It is certainly part of the development process as we look at what our customers need, both learning to fly and then progressing on in their flying careers, whether they're going on to a professional pilot career or whether they're, you know, pursuing ownership of a jet. We have quite a few folks who are interested, particularly in the Mustang, because it's such a great first jet and such a nice, you know, ownership experience, that we have folks who want to buy the airplane and, oh, by the way, they need to learn to fly. And, you know, it's something that you can put together on paper, but until you experience, you know, what an initial jet type rating really, really means and how you can best prepare for that, you don't really get it. And I would be hard-pressed to be able to develop things properly for the Cessna Pilot Center Network without taking that opportunity. Plus, it's really cool to fly a jet. I laugh because I never thought that I would say that. I've been a single engine light aircraft, you know, propeller person all my life, and you know, I flew the Skycatcher into Oshkosh last year and had a blast doing that. And so it was a nice juxtaposition to fly the Mustang in this year.
Yeah,
and,
I can imagine.
We got here a little bit faster, came in a little bit higher, but you know, two completely different experiences, but a lot of fun.
I heard it was a nice landing.
You know, the airplane's over there at the Cessna display, so you can judge for yourself. I don't think I broke anything on my first
good to know,
landing.
Since
out
you have that reputation, no, I'm teasing.
Thanks.
Julie.
I was not in the front seat.
Okay. Julie, thank you so much for taking the time to come on today and talk about your new book. Tell me the title one more time so people can find it. You're signing it, right?
Yes. Together We Fly, Voices from the DC-3 will be signing books tomorrow, Wednesday at 11 a.m. at the ASA booth in Hangar B, 2075. I'm going to be joined by my good friend Jack Pelton, who is the former CEO of Cessna. He wrote the foreword because he spent 21 years as a Douglas Aircraft Company engineer prior to his career at Cessna. So we're going to be over there. Come visit us, and we look forward to seeing you.
Excellent. And they can find the book at what? ASA2Fly.com?
ASA2Fly.com. It's also distributed in major channels. I know that I've had folks say they've seen it on Amazon, and it'll be out in, you know, like Barnes & Noble, places like that.
Terrific. Thanks again.